We welcome Sharon Weaver as our speaker today. Sharon earned a master's degree in divinity at Vanderbilt University, and she has held work positions as a teacher, nonprofit worker, and college professor. Sharon currently operates a consulting company called Spiritual Care Providers. The title of Sharon's sermon is Social Justice as an Everyday Practice. Let's welcome Sharon.
Thank you, Joe. Oh, it's so good. That's perfect. Tell her I said hey. Okay, hello. Good to see you all again. I'm always glad to be here, and you know that. And every time I'm here, I swear I'm not going to just grin at everybody and just gush. And I even said to myself, now I'm not going to do that, but I get up here and I see you and I feel the energy and the love, and I can't help it. I'm just so glad to be here, as they used to say. Yes, I want to talk to you about social justice as an everyday practice, and I want this to be encouraging. Okay, this is a rah-rah encouraging, you can do it too sort of thing. Because I think sometimes there is a sense of, if we are going to be present in this world in a way we're working toward social justice, then we must have, you know, wait for those marches in Selma. You know, I love what you had to say, Matthew. And we did not work together to plan anything. But this is such a great example of not waiting for something, but to say, oh, well, why don't I at least start and start something? And sometimes we wait. We're waiting for someone to go ahead and march. We're waiting for some big something to happen. You might even search through the pages of the newspaper or scroll the web looking locally for something you can get involved in and lend your voice to, which is not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. But don't wait. Don't wait to get involved. And so rather than talk about the big stuff, which we could talk about, let's talk about it as an everyday practice. Because here's what happens. When you start living into your beliefs, then when it's time for the march, or it's time for a public display, or for something that might make you a little bit more uncomfortable if you've not practiced who your beliefs and who you are, then you may be hesitant and not even participate. You might let fear, which is a driver to keep people away, you might let the fear keep you from getting involved. But if you've lived into it and you've shown people in quiet ways who you are and what you're about, then it becomes far more natural and far less anxiety producing to step out in that way. So let's look at some things you can do. First of all, when we speak of social justice, we include the word compassion. It's always in there. You can look it up. Compassion and love. So social justice is based upon that. Always. Compassion and love. Because where it comes from is from the sense that something's not fair. That it's not fair in this world. The treatment of another because of a race, because of gender, because of cultural differences, because economic differences, because of sexual orientation differences, because of physical abilities, because they just are different. And they're treated usually less than, or othered, as we used to say in divinity school. They're othered. Those people are those whatever. And that's problematic when you start looking at it. And justifying it that way. And we have systems in place that make that reinforced. We have hierarchies of power, both financial, as we all know about the 1% or the smaller percent getting smaller of who owns the wealth, in this country at least, and even the world. We know those things, yet we don't realize some of the stuff that we can do to counteract that without big things. Also within that, too, is the sense of equality, and equality for all. But But if you'll notice in the UU principles, it speaks of equity. And that's different. They're both good things. Not knocking one or the other. But you need equity to be fair. And I'm cruising through the web and discounting some things. And you know, you sift. You're smart if you sift through the web. It's not everything you just go, oh, it's the Holy Grail because WikiLeaks said so, or Wiki, whatever, Wikipedia. But I saw an image. I try to look at images first. I'm a visual person like this. So I saw an image of the description of equality and equity. And perhaps you've seen the poster. But it has stick figures looking at a ball game. There's a ball game, I think it's a baseball game being played, and there's stick figures looking at the ball game, and there's a fence. So you might assume there are these three boys trying to peep over the fence and see a ball game. And one of them is high enough to see it, tall enough to see it. And there's a middle one who just about, you know, every now and then can tippy toe and see something. When this one goes, yay, and gets excited, the middle one can go, oh, yeah, yeah, I see it. And then there's one down here, a shorter guy, who's not seeing anything. Now, people might say, well, go find the hole in the fence. Make your way, you know. You should just do that. There is a picture of equity then, equality, where all three get a box to stand on, right? All of you get to have a box to stand on. Here's your box, and so the tall guy's way up here. It's almost dangerous for him because he leans too far, he could probably fall over. There's another box for the middle guy, who then is just about right, and then the little guy who's on one box who just sees another higher view of the wood. And then it says, then it illustrates, it's really just the two pictures, between that and equity, which is the tall one doesn't need a box. He doesn't need a box, so he doesn't have a box. Hopefully, he's given his box down the road or pushed it on down. The middle guy keeps the box. He's got a box and he can see quite well. But that extra box goes to the short guy, who then is standing on two boxes, and guess what? They're all equal atop here and everybody can enjoy the game. Now, that's equity as an example. And there's little sayings, you know, don't just give someone, everyone gets a pair of shoes, making sure the shoes fit, right? Everybody gets shoes, you all need shoes, here's some shoes. It's a crapshoot as to who, whether or not you get them that fit. It's up to you to figure it out, you know. It's sort of like that in life, isn't it? Up to us to figure it out. But if I've got shoes that don't fit, then let's find the owner of some that would fit me, and I'll give them mine. Or if I've got a couple of pairs of shoes, why do I need another if you have none, Joe? You know? Another illustration that I liked was there was a young man in a wheelchair pulled up to a school, and there was a ramp that he might have been able to get up into the school, and then there's steps beside it, and it had snowed. And all these kids are out here, and there's someone with a shovel shoveling off the snow. And the child in the wheelchair says, why don't you shovel the ramp first and then we can all get in? And that's equity, you know. I'll shovel our way to get in and then we'll shovel your way and we're equal that we'll get in. No, we can alter in that. Let's make it sure that all can get in because he can't get up the stairs. So I want you to be sure when you're thinking of and when you're working at social justice, you think of equity and ask, you know, what is equitable? What is fair? And what is equitable? Something else that's kind of the overriding theme for what I have to say today is the quote. And I thought, you know, I love quotes. What's the best quote, in my opinion, that speaks to us about social justice? And I think the one that I like the best is Gandhi's. And it's one we're all familiar with. Be the change you want to see in the world. So that's where practice, everyday practice comes in. Figure out where you are. I'm not here to tell you. I'm not here to say only you should do this or you should do that. Find your heart. Define what you find as an injustice or injustices that you want changed. And then be that change. Live it, breathe it, speak it. let people know how you are, how you believe, who you are, how you think. And then number one, don't wait for big. As I started out with, don't wait for big. Don't wait for Ferguson. Don't wait for Selma. Don't wait for big things and then truck on up and get involved. That's a good thing to do that too, but don't wait. Create as Matthew did. If you don't mind, I don't mean to keep calling you out, but it was a wonderful example. Create something yourself or contribute locally. Get involved locally with some of those things that's going on that others have created. Then when big comes, like I said, you feel more comfortable being involved. It's expected. It may be that people call you on the phone and say, Frank, are you going? Or if they see you, they're not surprised, right? Because you live that sort of life. Number two, find like-minded people. If you're swimming in the waters, if you will, of people who don't believe like you believe, who would chastise you or drag you down at every moment, you know, because of your beliefs, or if you're afraid to share them, then make certain that you've got a group that will celebrate who you are and what you believe and share those, or at least respect them, which is one of the reasons I love this community so. You know, I may not believe as you do, but I respect and will defend your right to believe that way. So find like-minded people, hang out, feed your soul, feed those beliefs. Number three, commit to a group or organization locally, nationally, and globally. And not just one or the other. Now, I may not be able to travel to Africa because there's some sort of thing on sex trafficking at a big conference or a women's right or whatever, but I can donate sparingly. I can donate or I can tell others about it. If you really feel like you have your hands tied, you can't go, I can't do anything that big, sometimes big really, you know, overwhelms us. You can, as Dave said, and asking for good thoughts, vibrations, energy, prayers, meditations for unity, we can do that for that particular group of people meeting. So if I can't make it to Africa, and I can't, then at least the day of the conference or the week of the conference or sometime during, I can sit down and light a candle and I can give 15 minutes, 5 minutes, heck, whatever, to center and to meditate in prayer or in good thought that it is fruitful. That the seeds, as Kitty's talking about, that the seeds that they're planting in that conference be fruitful and that wisdom guides their decision making. I'm not there, but that is in my consciousness and in the greater consciousness. Nationally, maybe you can make it. If not, you can support people going. Do you know of a local person? Now, we've got elections coming up, and political is, you know, but there are some candidates that try to have good solid stance on social justice issues. And if that's so, then if there's donations in your heart, then donate. Send a letter at least. Or, you know, send some sort of email. I support you. You need to know. I may not even be in your state, but I support you. I may not be voting for your particular, you know, branch, let's say, your particular, I want to say denomination, affiliation. But I like your stance on whatever. Especially if you find someone in a political group or a group that is tiptoeing outside the boundaries. You know, you have that. There was supposedly, for example, this is just an example. There are some Republicans, women that supposedly, they announced, were not toeing the party line when it comes to abortion. So, depending on how you feel about that, if you think that their movement toward pro-choice is a good thing, you may not be affiliated whatsoever and could never imagine yourself sending a positive email to someone of that party if you don't believe in their stances. But if you see someone that's struggling with movement or change in a way that you feel is more towards social justice, why not send an email? You don't have to identify yourself as a whatever, but just to say, thanks for broadening the conversation within your organization or party. That's all. That's all, folks. A little bit of it. Then certainly locally, that's when you can get involved. You can do. And you don't have to march, and you don't have to get out there, and it doesn't have to be on your particular time schedule that's good for you. But let's say you know something's going on, like we had here during the holiday season in December with the domestic violence, women who have been involved in domestic violence. There's an organization that you all work with, and the name unfortunately has escaped me. But you collected names and brought in donations for that. This community gives to a lot of different organizations. So it may be that, you know, you're cleaning out your pantry even, and you're getting ready to throw some stuff away. Not out-of-date stuff now, mind you. But if you've got some stuff, find, you know, or if you go to the store, it's like, here's a can of beans. I love these chili beans, and I need 2 cans. Well, let me buy 2 more cans. And then I'll take them home, and I'll put them in a bag, and I'll take them to Second Harvest or someplace like that. And you don't have to buy it all at once. What if you picked up a couple extra items each week? An 89-cent a can of beans each week till it continues. I know people in the summer that will buy water and keep it in their car for if they see homeless people or people that are asking for money. You know, they might even be selling the paper. But it's hot and they're miserable, and sometimes they'll stop and say, here, here's some water. That's a little thing, but it makes life better. So while those aren't big, but that's locally, and that affected that person in a positive way. And you say, well, what does that have to do with social justice, giving him a bottle of water that's probably a Coca-Cola product or some other soft drink product if it's bottled water, and they use too much water, and that's not social justice. So it's the best you can do. And I want to talk about that. The next one is the best you can do. You get out and get a pitcher. Here's my Brita pitcher, or here's some water I got out of my tap, and here's a glass for you, or here's a plastic paper. If you'll recycle, here's your water. That may not be something they would feel comfortable taking, okay, because they're afraid and concerned and may need to put it in a backpack where they can carry it. And if they don't drink it now, they can drink it tomorrow because maybe they don't have the money or there's not a compassionate person with water tomorrow. So while you may think, well, I'm not contributing to the plastic plethora problem that we have here, look at the needs of the persons you're trying to help. Okay? Look at those needs and then do the best you can. I'm very much an animal rights person, a vegetarian, and try very much to be conscientious in my interaction with animals. And I know in divinity school, one of my close friends said to me, oh, when they found that out, she's like, you won't like me. I'm a physician, and we used to have to intubate kittens in med school and intubate, put the tubes down the throats of struggling live kittens. And it was hard. I mean, that sort of thing is even hard for me to hear, given my belief and philosophy with animals. She, you know, she went on to say, and I'm not a vegetarian, you know, although I will tell you that we now use models and plastic models of babies rather than live animals. And I said, that's good. And I said, Sharon, her name was Sharon too. I said, Sharon, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm not judging you. This is what I believe. You follow, you find your path, and you do the best you can. I said, if you look at my feet, I have boots on. And I wore them particularly today, not the same ones, but these are leather. And I said, I cannot at this time buy the more expensive kind of vegan shoes. You know, I try to get the pleather when I can. But I said, you know, especially in school, you do the best you can. And I said, I'm doing the best I can, you know. I'm hoping this cow was already dead and not killed for the leather. And you know, I'm going to wear them out. I'm just going to try to wear them out and reuse. And I've seen where you can even take boots and make flower planters out of them. I don't find them particularly attractive, but at least they're trying to reuse and recycle. And so I said, I'm not going to judge you. If you want to know more about how I eat or what I believe or why I do what I do, I said, then you can ask. But, you know, we can still have relationship over that. And so it's really important that you go forward in life. Not so much judging yourself harshly. You don't want to do that. But don't judge others. You know, they're probably doing the best they can, and you don't know who they're writing the checks to. You don't know what they're doing either. And I'll give you an example. When I judged, I used to work for a nonprofit that worked with sexually assaulted children and became very involved. I've been in volunteer management and things like that for a long time. And so I have a very good friend of mine who is, you know, works very hard at doing what he does, and is good at it. So, but not so much involved on the hands-on stuff. He's busy. So I said one time, oh, well, I got out of the Junior League. And is this recording? Yeah, well, it's true. So I was a Junior League member, and I got out of it. And I said, you know, what bothered me, it was too much of a clean charity. And the clean charity is, you know, we'll write you a check, but we don't want to get our hands dirty. We don't want to actually go in where that stuff is going on. Oh, that was judgmental in a lot of ways, because this person said, well, I guess that would be me. Because I don't have the time, or I didn't think I'd have the time, and I didn't know where to start, but I do write checks. And I stopped a minute, and I thought, thank you, because you know what? We need money. We need money. And if you can't do, for whatever reason, the work that maybe I can do, or the social workers I work with can do, then do what you can. And if it's money, oh, we need it. I'm out trying to fundraise, and here, what am I saying? You know, so be careful about that. Look at what you can do. And remember, the best example is your action, the way you live your life, not so much what you say. And I want to caution you that sometimes we're so adamant about our beliefs. We feel them so passionately, especially the pain of those that we are trying to help, that we get angry. We get very angry. And I don't know about you, but I have met a lot of angry, sort of self-righteous people on lots of sides of fences and ideas, right? And actually, I've been an angry feminist at one time, you know? And I always said, because you should be angry, how could you not be angry seeing and knowing the injustices of this world? And you should in some time. I really think there's a fire that kind of starts in the flame. But to flame everyone, to become a flame thrower in the namesake of what you believe, you turn off people that maybe, if you didn't kind of meet them with anger, could actually listen. And you change hearts and change minds, not through your anger by beating people over the head with it, but by listening and sharing and living, which is why we want to look at this everyday practice. And you won't change everyone. You won't change them. And I encourage you to be careful with that too. Don't get discouraged. I've been asked to speak at a conference about vicarious trauma. And I'm speaking to a group of people that are social workers and police officers and people who deal with this stuff all the time, the traumatic stuff of life. And it will always be with us. It will always be with us in some way, shape, or form. Even if it's just, if all the disease was cured, if everybody behaved, we're sort of clumsy as people. And so we would wreck and fall and do all that stuff. And people would drive out to a home to rescue us and be heartbroken. And so the trauma is always going to be with us, the trauma of seeing others suffering. Now, vicarious trauma is when you are in that field or you are dealing with suffering of others so much that you begin to take on the pain. Okay? And so to try to avoid that, and because what tends to happen is you burn out and you get apathetic and you can't care and you become depressed and you become part of the problem. So beware of the vicariousness and the sort of vicarious trauma of being a person believing in a cause and then getting frustrated when yet again, you hear the cases. And know that your little part may be doing very much, later down the road. There's a saying, at least in the Christian community, I know that we don't have a right to know the fruits of our labor. We are to call upon in faith to then act out justly toward one another and with compassion and love. And so then it's not so much if I don't get results, I'm quitting. It's people who vote and their candidate loses and they'll never vote again. Nope, we're called to continually do this. And then to speak, act, find your comfort level, and to become your beliefs. It's very important to do that. If you believe in recycling, recycle. If you believe in animal care and animal rights and animals being respected, get out and show it in some way. If you believe in justice, live it. Speak it. Share it with others. I want to end this by inviting you to come to the second hour. We are going to sit around and brainstorm practices that you already do and then practices you can do depending on what you believe in. Should you narrow it down? Should you kind of do the shotgun approach? I'll just give to whatever. You figure out what's good for you. But there is a sense of being overwhelmed, and sometimes people just stop and stop caring and stop doing and become overwhelmed. And so we're going to talk about that problem. We're going to try to identify how you can live into that, sort of the everyday practices of what you yourself personally can identify that you do in second hour. I do know I'm preaching to the choir, as they say, when I talk about social justice here at UU's. It is a part of the thread and the fabric here. But I just want to encourage it and to invite you to not wait, to let it be a part of your everyday and be a part of your very being, who you are. Thank you so much for listening today and for being here. Thank you.